This is a CKTZ News update. On October 7th, the standalone Cortes Island Food Bank became part of Food Banks BC. Coordinator Philippe Figuera says the organization has launched its own website, cortesfoodbank.ca, providing another platform for making donations and accessing food for those requiring assistance. For 20 years, Samantha Staten has been the boots on the ground for the Cortes Food Bank, ensuring those in need receive food and receiving donations. Figuera says the local food bank can now apply for funding from Food Banks BC to help compensate Staten for her work, which she's been doing for free for the past two decades. He adds that along with non-perishable food donations, financial donations are also welcome, which are often used to purchase gift cards for stores where clients can get fresh produce to supplement what they receive in donated goods. Staten says there are about 10 regular clients, and the process for receiving food bank items is fully confidential.
I used to leave them at the Manson's Hall, but then with COVID and the reduced hours at the office, I just have a specific day and people come actually to the storage depot and collect the boxes themselves, or they get delivered by a woman on the island here if they don't have transportation and whatnot. And then, like I said, if they were at the hall, their name would be on them, but it would be up here, so it wouldn't be out in the open. So there'd be that anonymity there. And yeah, that's how it was done.
Okay, great. And Philippe, tell us about your involvement with the Cortes Island Food Bank. How long have you been involved and what's your role?
My role is coordinator for CEDA, so that's the Cortes Community Development Association. So I had a role with, it's just finished actually, just wound up. So we were trying to work on some food security issues for that, and part of that was how could we help the food bank get more resources to do its job. This is something that Samantha's been doing by herself for 20 years with very little support. Great community support, but I think how can we get more resources to her so she can help more people? I think that's what it was. And so help get us to join Food Banks BC, and that would give us some access to a lot more resources in terms of funding, food stuff, organizations that can donate food. So that's going to be great.
Right. Now, that's a big story, too, in the change. And Philippe, maybe we'll just start with that. What is the greater access to resources looking like, and how's that made a difference for the local food bank?
It's just starting out. We actually received, Food Banks BC has got access to a bunch of organizations that have warehouses full of excess food that they collect. So we're working right now with Loaves and Fishes down in Nanaimo. We just got our first pallet of cans and goods delivered last week, and we'll get some more of that. So then we can start really ramping up and promoting the food bank's activities. The issue was like, can we get some more money? Can we get some more food so that we can start helping and really understand who the need and the ugly? Because I think, like I say, Samantha's done an amazing job, but there's limits to what she's doing. And I think with the last couple of years of COVID, inflation, food stuff's been in short supply, I think this coming year is going to be really critical. So we're just trying to ramp up to that. Hopefully we can get ramped up for more the Christmas period and get some good food hampers out there.
Great. Now, you just mentioned, yes, the pressures from inflation and the rising cost of food. How is demand at the Cortes Island Food Bank? Is it rising? Is it stable? Is it gone down at all? What's it looking like as we speak?
It's pretty stable. It hasn't really gone up. It fluctuates from month to month, but it hasn't gone up drastically yet. But we are anticipating that it will, and we cater to all kinds of people.
I mean, I think we're going to try and promote the fact that it exists and you can access it, and we're going to launch a website where people can more easily get information and for help. We want to remove any stigmas that may be out there to people who feel that for some reason they should go hungry, that food is available, they're strong. So we'll see. I think once we start promoting it a lot more, then we'll get a better sense of the real need.
With the, I guess, being able to access, as you say, the British Columbia Food Bank network, as far as the local supplies go and the donations that you're receiving, do you feel like you're doing fairly well at meeting the needs of those people that could use help with food locally?
Yes, I definitely do think we're meeting the needs of people, but to be able to give them fresh produce would be fabulous as well.
Yeah, that's a big one. And just locally, what is the best way and the best items for people to donate locally?
The best way is we have boxes at all the stores, except for School Cove, that they can drop off stuff there. Perishables, dry goods, in their original packages, I have to mention, no home canning, which I did 1 year get a whole bunch of. And yeah, lots of non-perishable dry goods.
Coming up with Christmas presents, it would be lovely if people donated stuff that was appropriate to the season. And people can donate through the FCCA and get a charitable receipt. And they can also donate directly to us.
Just one final word here, and that is just if you've noticed, especially Samantha, over those 2 decades of service here, if you've noticed any shift in trends or just over that time period, especially as in the current day, and we were talking earlier, of course, about rising prices and inflation and so forth, have you seen any shift in trends about what types of goods people need or the types of people they're accessing the food bank?
We try to give them a well-rounded box. Of course, that's not always possible because we can't give them perishables.
Things have changed significantly. It's not so easy to cut this, but actually people got some funding during that time, and then it's actually increased a bit because that funding has gone way up now. We're facing this inflation. So I think from talking to other food banks, the need and people cost with food banks has increased quite significantly, and particularly in rural BC.
And as you say, Philippe, it's almost like we're just like a microcosm of the macro in that we're reflecting what's going on throughout the entire country.
Absolutely, yeah. Challenges in a rural environment like ours are higher. When you look at Food Bank BC does an annual report called the Hunger Count. And so when they look at rural BC, they see that things like housing costs are way, way higher, much higher percentage of people's income is spent on that than people in the city. So it can get up to that. Ironically, the less income you have, the higher your housing costs are as a percentage of the income, which is ridiculous. But so I think all those factors, building factor inflation and housing costs are going up, and people have less to spend on food. And we're concerned 2022, 2023, nobody should be going hungry.
The food bank also feeds people's pets.
Figuera says, with the Cortez Food Bank now being part of Food Banks BC, it will be included in the annual Food Bank Day on December 2nd, hosted by CBC Radio British Columbia. Last year, nearly $3 million was raised and distributed to food banks across the province. Greg Osoba, CKTZ News, Cortez Island. CKTZ News is brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative, the program funded by Heritage Canada and administered through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.